Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be going through Matthew chapter 6, where we see that in the kingdom of God, there are no titles. We are simply sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, where he preaches a message entitled, "There Are No Goats in the Kingdom of God."
Or any event where when there is no reward, there is much motivation to do something. Motivation comes from the payoff, if you would. Motivation comes from what you receive at the finish line. I mean, right? Isn't that why people enter into a sport, into a race, take a job? I mean, I'm not endorsing that your service should be solely based on reward, but when I hear that there are rewards that come from God where rust and moth cannot steal or destroy, my heart is stirred. Jesus talks to me about rewards. He talks to you about rewards. What kind of rewards? What does he mean? I mean, are we allowed to be after rewards? Yes. What kind of rewards are we talking about? Well, there are several. I'll show you just a few because of time. If you want to turn, you can. If not, just listen. The first I'm going to speak of is eternal rewards. Those are pretty good ones. Those are ones that are in glory that I'm really not sure quite what they're going to be. Paul in 2 Timothy 4 alludes them as crowns of righteousness. I've had disputes with pastors that there will be no crowns of gold or righteousness and glory. I don't know. Paul said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read that to you in just a minute. But first, let me read this to you in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15. You tell me if there's going to be eternal rewards that we're to be after. Watch this. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." There it is. "But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So what I understand then is this. There are rewards for the Christian who does things that are in God's name for God's glory with the right heart. And those rewards are received at the Bema seat of judgment. You know there's two thrones of judgment, don't you? This is why I couldn't do all 18 verses. There's no like simplicity in any verse. I don't want you to leave here with just surfacey stuff. I want to go deep with you so your head hurts when you leave. There are two judgment seats. There's the great white throne judgment for unbelievers, where they will stand before God before they are cast into hell for all of eternity, the lake of fire, and they will give an account for every word, deed, thought that they have ever had, because they did not accept the ransom of Jesus Christ. They will stand before the throne of God. The books of life will be open. All the books of idle words, every book of thought, everything is recorded. Jesus is a great recorder. And you will have to give an account for everything you've ever said or done as you stand before him. And your degree of damnation will be predicated upon what you've done here in this life. That's how I see the word of God. That's the great white throne judgment. If we're in Christ, we don't go to that. We go to the Bema seat, which I believe is after the rapture of the church. And when we go to the Bema seat, we get judgments of reward. What did we do to be seen of men? There's no rewards. And what do we do to be seen of God and for God's glory? There is where we receive rewards. Isn't that insane? So for the believer, there's not just salvation, there are rewards. Paul just said it. If it's stuff that we did in the flesh and to be prominent, then it's wood, hay, and stubble, it will burn up. But if it's tried and true and it's gold and it's silver, well, fire can't burn it up. It will be purified and will be rewarded based on that. I'll give you more verses. I'll read to you what I alluded to. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this. At the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy. Verse 6, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's rewards, isn't it? A crown of righteousness. Now listen, he says, but not just me. He says, but the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give all those who love his appearing in that day. So there's a reward of righteousness. There's a crown of righteousness, a crown that can't be burned up because it's not wood, hay, and stubble, for all those who are faithful with what God has given them to do in this life. There's certainly an endorsement for seeking rewards that are eternal by Jesus and the New Testament writers, the authors. I don't see anything wrong with it. In fact, rewinding a little bit, going back to Matthew, don't be overwhelmed. Just listen if it's too much for you to turn. Jesus will say when we get there, he'll say in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Rewards. Revelation chapter 22. Listen, verse 12 says this, Jesus speaking, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So I don't want to keep doing this with you because I don't have time, but do you see that there? I mean, that's 4 or 5 New Testament scriptures in different books where this idea of eternal rewards is put in front of us. Daniel speaks about eternal rewards. There are rewards to be had by God in its right time when we get to glory. It's not the only reason why we do what we do, but it's part of the reason. I want to bless the Lord. I want to bring glory to his name. I'm after what this life can't give to me. All that this life can give to me is temporary. All that this life can give to me, if I stack it up and collect it and add to it as much as I can at why I'm here, this brevity of time, and it's all going to either be destroyed or become somebody else's when I die. I can't take anything with me. I buried a lot of people in the several of years that I've been a pastor. I buried very wealthy people. And they go in the casket by themselves. They just go in there, whatever outfit the person decides to dress them in, and then we lower them into the ground 6 feet under, and that's it. They don't take anything with them. They leave it to the person behind them or the person after them in their will. In other words, what this life can award you or reward you with is not really going to be anything that is worth giving your life to. But Jesus said, the rewards that I give to you, first of all, you can't even understand what they are. And what they are eternal. For all of everlasting life. So there's motivation to not seek to be the goat of the kingdom of God in that there are eternal rewards. But there are other rewards. How about the reward of satisfaction? There's nothing more satisfying than serving Jesus. There's nothing more amazing and awesome on this side of eternity than serving Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is completely satisfying. No matter how I feel, no matter how I come here to church, when I give my life to serve Jesus, I leave here full. I'm rewarded with satisfaction because Jesus gives me, he gives me that fill that only serving him can give to me. I was created and you were created to not just worship the Lord, but to serve the Lord with the gifts and talents that he has given to you. And you don't experience satisfaction the way that you should until you give your life to the cause of the kingdom of God. You might have temporary highs. You might have moments of happiness. But you don't experience full satisfaction the way that you can and will when you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. That's a great reward. There's a lot of people in this life who are not satisfied. They got beautiful wives. They got beautiful, handsome husbands. But usually it's the guy who has a more beautiful wife. Usually girls marry down, guys marry up, I feel. Anyways, you got beautiful spouse, you got beautiful children, a great job, whatever it would be, but they're never satisfied. The scriptures are clear. You're never satisfied. There's no contentment. But then, man, you come to Jesus, and you start serving Jesus and going to the post that Jesus has called you and ordained for you to go to, and you are satisfied deep in your soul. How about the satisfaction and the reward, thirdly, of that when you complete the task, there's still more work to do? How many things in this life, let me broaden that for you. How many things in this life, after you accomplish the task, you build your house, we build the gym, you make the NFL, you get to that place in positioning in corporate America, you get to that place, and after the chase is over, the climb is over, you get there, there's experience of this low. It's over. I don't know what to do with myself now. I've lost the high of the chase, so now it's over. My reward is here, and now as much as my reward is here, it's over. How about empty nesters? I raised my kids. The reward is sending them off to be successful, to go to college or to get a good job or to have their own family. You get there. Then they leave, and I don't know what my purpose is anymore. The reward of them going is wonderful, but they're gone. I don't know what to do, and there's this immediate low. How about in the kingdom of God, as you serve him and you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back and you do it for his glory, there's this reward of there's more to do. That's sort of a paradox, I get that, but it makes sense. There's a reward of there's more to do. So I preach to you guys this morning, right? This is your church service. Here you go. This is it. I got like 8, 9, 10, 20 more minutes with you. You guys are going to leave here in a few minutes. You're going to be on your way. It's a wonderful reward. I'll be satisfied. I'm going to get a crown because I'm doing what God asked me to do, and I'm not doing it for that only, but I'm certainly doing that for part of it. I want to bring my Father pleasure. It's a Father kingdom. I'll get to that at the end. But then there's this high of sending you guys out and giving you the word of God and maybe even seeing people get saved today. But then when you guys leave, there's more for me to do. There's a reward if I got more for you. Second service is coming. And because you were faithful at first service, I'm going to give you second service. I'm going to fill this room just like I did first service. And it's like going to pastoring a whole other church. And then when second service leaves and I'm emptied out, there's this reward of Wednesday's coming. There's more to do. So that drop, that low that you experience in every other rewards, what is Usain Bolt going to do? What is Michael Phelps going to do? I understand they're going to be rich and enjoy their lives to that degree. But it's over. They've won the goal. They've won so much gold, they don't know what to do with the goal. It's done. The reward, the chase, what they've given their life to, especially these last 4 years of training. You won the race. It's over. My kid ain't even going to know who you are. You kidding me? With today's technology and training and nutrition value systems, man, there's going to be a faster runner to come in the next 2 decades. My kids are going to come there. Yeah, you're saying, Bolt, who is he? Michael Phelps, who is he? There's no reward. There's no great payoff. You won your reward. It's over. Now there's this low. Who am I? I don't even know who I am. And there's this identity crisis. But in the kingdom, there's a reward of I've got more for you to do still. I think Jesus endorses this point. In fact, I stole it from him. He's the one who gave the parable of those who were faithful stewards of the talents that he gave. Those who multiplied the talents, he rewarded them with more work to do. The ones who held on to their talents and treasures and buried them and saved them and protected them, he damned them. He's a good endorser. If you're going to quote somebody in your message, Jesus is pretty good. Better than Spurgeon and Chambers and Moody and everybody else. So there's the eternal rewards. There's the reward of satisfaction. There's the reward of there's more to do. And then there's the reward, fourthly, I'll close with because of time. I had more, but we'll stop here with this point. There's the reward of getting a vision of God. That's my favorite reward. Because I'm never more like him on this side of eternity than when I'm serving him. Jesus makes it clear all through, especially John's gospel, because he highlights it. I'm not here to do my will, but the one who sent me, my Father's will. In fact, Jesus would say in John's gospel, chapter 8, I always do those things that please the Father. And when we serve the Lord, when we use whatever he's given to us, time, treasures, talents, resources, good works, righteous works, acts of mercy, almsgiving, when we serve the Lord and we use what he has given to us and entrusted to us for his glory, we are never more like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we get this communion with the Father. We get this fellowship with the Father as we bring him a sacrifice of praise. That's an amazing experience, to catch a glimpse or a vision of Almighty God. That's great motivation of why you should serve the Lord for the right reasons and be busy about the Father's kingdom for the right reasons so that you can see God. Do you see God? Do you guys ever have visions of God? I'm not talking about like, yeah, I died for 60 seconds in my sleep and I went to heaven, and I saw Mary, and I saw... No, I'm not talking about that, because there's a lot of crazies out there that it's getting overboard. Maybe some of it's true, but it's certainly not all true. Paul said, I can't even write to you what I saw when he had that experience. It'd be unlawful. But do you open your Bible? Do you pray to him? Do you serve him with such intimacy and likeness in the manner that Jesus did, that you see God? By his grace, I get to. And that is my greatest reward. I can't wait to put a face with a name. I pity those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about. And that's not a condemning word. That's not an arrogant word, a lofty word, like, oh, I see God, do you see God? That's a simple exhortation of get busy so you can see God. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show me his glory. He doesn't show me a vision of who he is because I'm the pastor. In the kingdom, you won't come and say, hey, Pastor Dave. In the kingdom, I'm just a son of God. And you're just sons and daughters of God, and we're all on equal playing field, and he wants to show all of us his glory. So if you're a note taker, if you're a neat maker of a sermon, we're after rewards that are eternal. We're after rewards that are satisfying. We're after rewards that give us more work to do after we finish. And we're after rewards that give us a vision of God. Don't do things to be seen of men. In fact, he says in verse 2, when you do good works and you do serve God and you do bless people in Jesus' name, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. They would literally do that. They would come to a street corner, an intersection where there was a lot of people passing by. They'd have somebody blow a silver trumpet, make this big doo doo doo. And then the poor would come, they would know that was their call, and then they would throw change in their buckets, and you'd hear the jingle, and then everybody would applause. Jesus says, when you do that, don't do what they do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they might have the glory of men, because I say unto you, they have their reward. That makes sense, because you never get rewarded twice for the same thing. That makes no sense. Jesus is saying there's no double dipping. You don't get rewarded by men on this side of eternity when they applaud for you, if that's what you're after, and then get rewarded by me too in glory. If that's what you're after, there's your reward. I hope that 30 seconds of fame was worth it. I hope you being the hot shot for 20 seconds till the next guy comes on the scene and steals your glory, I hope that was worth it to you, because that's all you're getting. The word here, reward, at the end of verse 2 means this: paid in full and receipted. You've got, there's no more being paid out for that one. You got paid in full and you got the receipt. You want to be the greatest of all time? You want to be the John Jones Bones of Christianity? You want to be the Michael Phelps or the Usain Bolt of Christianity? You want to be the hot shot? You want to be the prominent one? You want to be the recognized one? That's why you usher at the door, or you teach the kids, or you pray the way that you pray, or you shovel the pathway, or you do what you do. I hope you like the pat on the back, because that's all you're getting. Now, some legalists say, oh, when you give them encouragement or compliment, don't do that, you'll steal my reward. That's not what this taught. The Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. You can receive encouragement and edification. You can come up to the pastor afterwards or to the worship leader and say, you blessed me today. You don't got to preface it with, I know you're nothing but a jerk and you're no good, and it's only by the grace of God you're not burning in hell right now. But you were a blessing today. You kind of ruined it for us with that whole preface thing there. We know what we are. You don't got to remind us. You can simply just come up to us and say, or to the person holding the door and say, or the person behind the cafe counter and say, you're a blessing. Thank you for doing what you do. You're not taking their reward, because that person wasn't doing it to be seen of men. Unfortunately, when you do good things, many a times there is this attention given to you. It's attached to it. But if my motivation is not for that, then there will be rewards. Y'all with me so far? Jesus isn't ridiculous. He doesn't make statements that don't make sense and make us scratch our minds. Wait a minute, how do I do things that are good but I can't be seen? I'd have to preach from the back of the sanctuary and you guys would all be looking that way. That'd be amazing. You know, I'd come in and scare you guys. It'd be ridiculous. I met a kid at Bible college. I didn't go to Bible college. I was a janitor and then like I taught the youth and then I became the senior pastor. I have no clue how, but anyways, I went to Bible college to visit my sister like 12, 13 years ago. And I remember talking to this guy. Everybody in Bible college is so spiritual. Like they drink more spiritual water, they eat more spiritual food. They're just very spiritual while they're there for 2 years. And I was talking to this one guy and he said, when I pastor a church, he said, I'm going to put the stage in the back of the church. I'm going to push all the chairs up forward and have the worship team, and I'm going to preach from the back so that we can't be seen of men, basing it on these verses. And I'm just thinking, that would be the weirdest church ever. And at the time, I thought, how carnal I am. But now I look at him thinking just how stupid he was. I wasn't really carnal. He was just dumb. You know what I mean? It's just different. Because he's going over it. It's ridiculous. He's making something that Jesus said ridiculous. If you're not up here to be seen. And I do try to take that in consideration when I'm up here, because I do like to joke and have fun. I try to keep it to a minimal. I tell a story here or there because it's opening a window of breath, fresh air sometimes, or stinky air, depending on the story with my kids. And I try to keep it so that you're paying attention, because I understand a dialogue is very difficult to endure for a long period of time. But I try to be very sensitive. In fact, I think of many of things I could use as illustrations and stories and jokes or whatever that I just leave because I don't want to be here to be seen. In fact, I hate being seen. If I'm not preaching, I don't ever seek to be seen unless I'm with my buddies or my family. Then it's a different thing. But otherwise, I don't want to blend in with the crowd. I don't want to be seen. I'd rather be in the booth on Facebook while the pastor's preaching. I was just hoping I'd convict somebody if they were doing that, but I'm only joking. Or in the back. I used to love ushering. I was an usher for years. Or just even the guy who vacuums tomorrow morning. But when God calls you to do something, you got to do it.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.